Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, everybody. It's a week on Sunday. You've been putting it off. It's not because you're a bad person. It's just this is what we do. We think I'll do it later. I'll do it later. You're going to do it now. You're going to come through for me. You're going to come to my work in progress on the 17th of March at the Bill Murray Comedy Club in Islington. I'm writing a new Edinburgh show. I can't do it in my bedroom. I need you guys there. You need to come and watch this work of genius as it develops. It's basically going to be like you get to watch Da Vinci with a sketchbook, but it's gonna be me and my middling ideas. Please Google Bill Murray Comedy Club in Islington and look for my face, but like much hotter than it would ever be in person because I have good lighting and full makeup. Also, there will be a link in the episode notes at the end of the pod.
You have been taking a close interest in my step count.
Yeah, because I worry about you.
The other day, you told me that I wasn't allowed back into the house until I could show you the number 10,000 or above on my phone.
Yeah, but just to be clear, you're into your 50s now. You've had a doctor say, let's start taking care of you. And I don't feel you're doing that. So I'm like sneaking looks at your phone. It's like incredibly unhealthy emotionally.
And then it went horribly wrong. Because I went out for a walk in the evening so that I could hit my number. And I'd not been going very long, and a guy started walking alongside me. And I would say within 2 minutes, he was asking me to touch his bald head to see how flat it was. He said it was flat because he'd been hit with an iron bar.
I mean, this is a very uplifting beginning. First of all, this is so that we're very clear here. We're not mocking this man who is in very dire straits. We're mocking the fact that you were supposed to go on a walk and you genuinely couldn't make it more than like, I want to say 15 minutes before an interaction thwarted your efforts.
After the incident with the touch in his head, there was a side street. I said, all right, I'm going down here now. Then he said, oh, I'm homeless, so I'll just go whichever way you're going.
Oh, boy.
Then I was in it, no exaggeration, 35 minutes, because I didn't know what to do.
So other people will be listening to the story and they'll be thinking, why in that 35 minutes together, why doesn't it occur to you to go, I'm so sorry, I have to pick my son up from a play date. You'll please forgive me. It's been lovely to talk to you.
I tried that. I said, somebody's coming to my house in 10 minutes. I've got to go. And he said, I'll keep walking with you.
I would love to know, because it is a part of myself I would like to fix. Dear listeners, why does this story make me angry at Jeff? I know that's really, really bad, but it makes me feel angry at him. I know that's wrong, but it stokes some frustration that I feel that you cannot extradite yourself from that situation. And if this is all coming from so much love and decency in you, which in some ways I think it is, I don't think it's quite that simple, but I think that's playing a part. Why am I angry about it instead of loving being with a man who is so compassionate and kind?
I don't even think I'm that loving or decent. It's just I don't want to appear not loving or decent.
Well, I think that self-awareness is to be commended.
Shall we tell them about our darling guest today?
If she was worried about a flat spot on her head, I'd touch it and I'd confirm. Our guest is, it's another Nepo friendy. Do we love it? Yes, we love it. Comedian, star of the small screen and co-host of this upcoming season of Unforgivable.
Fresh off the ice as well. She's recently on Dancing on Ice.
It's our friend Lou Sanders.
I think she's the funniest person I can think of. No offense.
No. You say this to me sometimes. Yes. Is it as simple as her being physically the funniest? No, it's some kind of combination of what she's saying and what she does with that bod.
Yeah.
Our friend, Lou Sanders.
Quick watch.
I decided to watch what people had been telling us to watch, which is The End. this new Australian TV show starring Harriet Walter and Frances O'Connor. I've watched 3 episodes so far. I think it's wonderful. It shows a woman in middle age. She has a teenage son and daughter and a mother. And the inciting incident is the mother, played by Harriet Walter, has tried to kill herself living in the UK. I'm not saying that the two things are related. And and because she's gone through that, she's now moving to this like retirement community near to where her daughter lives in the Gold Coast, on the Gold Coast in Australia. And the son has had a somewhat recent suicide attempt as well. And yet, if you were to ask me to put this in the box of ultimately being a drama or a comedy, I would tell you it's a comedy.
And always great to see Harriet Walter, Lady Caroline Collingwood.
She's amazing in this.
And the protagonist is her daughter and the mother of these teenagers. We like her.
Well, yes. Like, she's very flawed, which I'm always into as a protagonist. But my biggest issue isn't that, like, sometimes she prioritizes her needs and her work schedule over her children. I'm comfortable with that. My problem is that her children are named Oberon and Persephone.
Okay.
Like, if I meet someone and they are named Oberon, I'd be like, your parents are terrible.
Do you not think it's just parents who want to wear the love of literature on their sleeves?
Yes, I think that's exactly what it is. And I think that's gross.
Because I would say we encounter a lot of that in our North London neighbourhood. It is weird that in our postcode, it would be more acceptable to call your kid Rosencrantz or Yorick than it would be to call your kid Jeff.
One of the reasons I wish we had a second child is just so I could rebel against the sort of name trends of our neighborhood. Because I'd be like, this is my baby and he's named Gary. What are you going to do about it? This is baby Gary. Just deal with baby Gary. I want to know very little about your parents based on your name.
Okay, question. Even though the subject matter sounds quite heavy, is it just nice being in a sunny environment on the Gold Coast of Australia?
Yes. And a lot of stuff happens poolside. So the grandma's there one day and the person that she kind of likes at this retirement home just takes her top off. And this like lady in her 70s has her tits out.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of, as a viewer, you go, great. And Harriet Walter's like not comfortable with it. And then I was thinking, like, I am like a real nudie duty.
But not on holiday. I don't see you with your mademoiselles out by and large.
No, the mademoiselles stay in on holiday. But like if I was at a gym, I hate to say I'm a little less comfortable as I get older. Because like I used to be prouder of my bod, but we should just all be with our bods. But then I think I was recently too much with my bod. And I don't think I told you the thing that I did that was maybe not great.
What happened?
So we have a person in our life. And saying what she is to us is getting increasingly complicated. And I know that's a very sketchy sentence. So she is our friend. She is a babysitter for our child. But sometimes it can almost feel like she's like one of our daughters that one of us had very young.
Because she's in her mid-20s.
So she came over the other day to babysit. And she got here early. And so I was like, oh, but we want to talk a little bit. Like, do you want to like come and sit on the like the toilet seat while I put my makeup on? And I had to pee so bad, but we were very mid flow. So I was like, can we keep this going? But like, I have to pee. And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I started peeing and then I was like, I'm not sure this is appropriate. And then she told me the story that she was once, she was once like with her friend and her friend just was like, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling great. And just did like full diarrhea in front of her while she was there. Just full diarrhea. So then I started laughing and then that was done. And then I did like, you know, I made sure that she couldn't see it in my genitalia as I finished. But I also worry that like she's a pleaser. Like I'm always telling her to like to try to not please me so much.
I don't think you should be asking anybody you're paying.
Oh, Jeff.
If you can pee in front of them.
Of course. I paid her for this.
Yeah. Well, when the show, The End, was mentioned on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, what we learned is, it's not one to watch with the family. Is it one to watch without the family?
I think it is.
My quick watch this week is actually going to be recommended to us in the future, in other words, later in this episode, by Lou Sanders in the interview. I had a look at it this morning and I liked it so much. It's called Things That I Should Have Done. It's created by and starring Lucia Keskin, who is the thing on TikTok, 500,000 followers. And she plays a young woman who in the first episode receives news that both of her parents have been killed in a car crash.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something. Not in the least bit heartfelt. This is entirely played for laughs, this show.
Oh.
It's what I've been looking for. It's great. So we see the reading of the will. And she finds out that her parents' house has been left to her on the condition that she completes a list of life skills, like learning to drive, making a friend, opening a bank account, because she still lives at home with the parents and she's kind of useless. And that's the inciting incident. Now, also at the will reading was her aunt, played by Celine Hisley, who is Daisy May Cooper's real-life best friend and her best friend in Am I Being Unreasonable?
She's
very, very funny. So this auntie, she is resentful because she wants this house and she wants to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the clash. When one day, and I hope it's many, many years in the future, you and your brother inherit your parents' house, how long before all their stuff is in a skip and that house is on the market?
Here's what I hope. So my brother is pretty rich. And what I will ask of him is, can I just have some money? And then can you just like take the house and like leave it as a shrine to our childhood so that I can continue to revisit my past?
This is what I thought you were going to say.
I'm going to act like my brother is a genie and I get two wishes from him. I'll be like, can I just have like, just like give me enough money.
I want you to put a number on it.
I like want 2 million. He doesn't have that to give me now, but I just think he might have 2 million.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I genuinely think it's better for me than for his kids. Because I don't want my nephews to be like little spoiled boys, whereas I'll be an old lady. I'm a nice sister. I have a less stable career than he does. I've been less successful. My parents were a little bit harder on me. I was never the favorite. And like, what am I owed is my question. And I put a number on it and it's 2 million.
In the show, the ashes of Chi's parents, she mixes them together in one urn, and the aunt isn't happy about that. And I thought you would be able to relate to that, because I've talked about our ashes being mixed together in one urn, and you don't like it.
No, I want like a little bit blended with you, but like a little bit blended with both of my parents, and then maybe a little bit blended with my brother.
And what percentage of you is allowed to be blended with me?
Oh, like a quarter? You can have a quarter of me. And I'll tell you right now, if I ever marry again, he cannot have my ashes.
So I die, you remarry, and you leave it in your will that your ashes have to be at least in part blended with mine, but he's not allowed to do any blending.
Yeah, I don't think I would blend with someone else.
And is that in a prenup? How would you see that conversation going?
I believe that I, you know, if I'm going to marry this person, unless he owns us, what if I wind up with one of those young ones who takes advantage of me?
What, you go on a cruise and he sidles up to you?
Yeah,
and you're just flattered.
Oh, I know. Like, if I'm like a little bit taken. So let's say I'm 70 and you're gone and he's like 51. So it's not insane, but something is a little off, we might say. But I'm like, I guess I'm hot at 70. Because if you're dead, I will have done some things with your money to like look pretty tight. And I'll be pleasure cruising.
I haven't got any money. You only get the life insurance if I die young.
How old do you have to be?
I think it expires when I'm 60.
Oy, I don't like those odds. Because I know how shit goes for me. You're going to like drop dead at 62. Well, then not my brother. I'll just, Sam, if you're listening, I'm telling you right now, if Jeff drops dead at 62, you're going to be financially responsible for me.
I just want to say that I would let all of me be blended with you.
Do you think this is an interesting metaphor in there for our marriage? All of you and 25% of me.
Yeah. So this show then, I like it because it's just trying to be funny and nothing else.
May I say something about this that I'm very surprised by? This showrunner of this show, tell me her name again.
Lucia Keskin.
Lucia Keskin is a TikTok star.
Uh-huh.
And wouldn't we all just assume that if a TikTok star made a TV show, it would be shitty? And it is fascinating to me and annoying and wonderful that she made something brilliant.
As ever, we would like your input, please. What about this? Character names that are a bit much, like Oberon and what was the other one?
Persephone.
There was always a weird thing with Game of Thrones where some of the characters would be called things like Cersei or Tyrion.
Uh-huh.
And then some of them be called Jaime. Like Daenerys, Missandei and Ned and Robert. With my friend Emily going on about that. But any examples of maybe gilding the lily with character names? Also, I'd be up for some good euthanasia recommendations.
Oy.
I remember seeing a really good, I can't remember the name of it, a French-Canadian film. Maybe if I say this, it'll ring a bell with someone, about a group of friends who got together and one of them was dying to assist him on his way out of this world. They took one last holiday. It was really good. Sort of ballpark 2002, 2008. You're not into it. It's too heavy for you. All right, then, as ever, recommendations. Oh, and what is coming? Like, what's coming that we should be excited about? I saw a trailer for the new series of Hacks today, which you like a little bit more than I do. I like it. And then there's this thing, The Regime, with Kate Winslet coming next week, which I'm quite excited about. So is there anything else we should look forward to? Something to live for? The email address is...
fuckoff@firecrotchandnormcore.com. Do you want to give me like a music style and I can maybe try and do my Patreon song in the style of that music?
Spiritual.
Oh, this I've actually been waiting for this my whole life.
Patreon time, oh, Patreon time.
Have you ever been more attracted to me? Guys, look, we had a great little spate of new Patreon supporters last week. It really helped me out. But let's not stop now. Here's what I need this week. I got a manicure and it looks so stupid on me. I was trying to do something, but you really need a very thin finger. And I'm not self-hating. I've always had big fingers and it's just not great. And I want to get them redone.
I think you have long fingers. They're not thick fingers.
Jeff, it's fine. I can't buy rings in stores. Like, I can't. There's all these things with rings I want to do and I can't do them because the average ring only fits on my pinky. And I'm not trying to be like, in mambo italiano, you know? I need to get another manicure this week. If I get a gel manicure, you know how much? £33. So let's see, wouldn't it be so fun if we got £33 of new Patreon supporters this week?
And then that would pay for a gel manicure every month for you.
Guys, I'm being very specific with my request. I need 11 of you to join at the £3 level. What are you getting for those £3? It's your watch list. It's the extended. I thought our Rosie Jones extended interview was very good. I'm very hopeful that you enjoy the Lou one as much. Do you almost feel like sometimes we're almost too close with Lou to interview her well?
Yes.
You're getting the birthday videos from my mom. You're getting a Friday voice note from me. If I may, I really enjoyed the one I did today and it was about duvet covers, okay? The content is strong. I want £33 in new support by next week.
Patreon.com/they like to watch. And coming up later, fresh from Dancing on Ice, also starring in the new series of Unforgivable with Mel Giedroyc on the Dave Channel. It's Lou Sanders. Sarah's already given the interview the hard sell by saying, I'm not sure how good we are at interviewing Lou because she's our friend.
Oh, no, listen, let me be very clear. In the interview that's coming up for you guys, you non-Patreon poops, it'll be a good interview because we've edited it down so much. You're getting all the gold.
But she is our friend. I've known Lou a long time. I think I first met Lou nearly 16 years ago in a basement when she was making a song about hanging around in your bikini all day.
Oh, my God.
And before that, I think we were friends on MySpace.
She's just the best.
Lou Sanders, coming up later. Well, we watched together this week The Jury Murder Trial on Channel 4. Which, it's hard to describe. It's part reality, part social experiment.
Yes.
And what they've done is they've taken all the details and transcripts of a real-life murder trial, changed the names and the identifying information, and then restaged it with actors playing the defendant, playing the witnesses, playing the judge, playing the lawyers. But it's all happening in front of a jury made up of real people who have been instructed to behave as if it was a genuine murder trial.
Right.
And there is a twist. Unbeknownst to the jury, there is another jury. So in other words, the experiment is to see if two separate groups of 12 people will reach the same verdict.
In a similar or different way.
Yes. Do you think any of those jurors should be weeded out? So I noticed there was one guy with a lightning bolt shaved into his beard. And I think if I was a judge, I would recuse him.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm sorry, and I understand this is a sweeping statement, but you made a choice to put a lightning bolt in your beard, and you're not fit to decide.
And it is incredibly compelling television. Was it fun in the show to see the British criminal justice system in action? Because we're very accustomed to American courtroom drama.
Do you know, it's really interesting. I could not get enough of the British legal system. And obviously, you know what's doing all the work.
What?
Them wigs. I mean, the wigs and the glass that everyone sits behind. Why are people behind glass? I don't think American legal systems have glass, but do you feel like they should? Because we're the one with the guns. And what is up with the wigs? Like, there's some crazy shit in this country. I understand the monarchy is precious to people, but a lot of other nations on your level are going, come on. But I understand the history and why, like, getting rid of it feels sad. Why are people still doing the wigs? There was a hot, hot barrister in this show. I mean, he was actually an actor playing a barrister, which is part of why he was hot. And he was fucking himself with that little wiggy wig.
I don't think they're optional, though. And I think customizing is probably frowned upon.
Oh, my gosh. No, you can't customize those things. But I felt like some of them had long braids and some didn't. Why isn't someone just going, guys, stop it. This is very crazy with the wigs. We look insane. There are traditions, and most traditions are very bad. Like, people from back in the day aren't coming up with great ideas. So we're done.
Things get improved upon.
Exactly. And I would just like to suggest to the British legal system that the wigs aren't serving you well in a global community.
I've never seen a clean looking one.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know if that's the color of them.
How do they get clean? Listen, I think we might have barristers who listen. Can someone please let me know how you clean your little wiggy wig? And do you have to share with other people, and how many do you have? And do you not feel disgusting when you put it on? Or do you actually feel, is it, like, I had to do a stand-up set the other night and the mic wasn't working. And I was like, I'm still going to hold the mic because, you know, you feel a certain way. If you're a barrister, do you feel a certain way in your wiggy wig? So would you actually feel very naked? Or do you not feel like, here's what I would imagine I would feel if I put on one of those wigs. I would immediately get an infestation of some kind. So is that, as a barrister, how you feel? Are you like, no, I get why you say that, but it's your own wig, so you feel comfortable? Or do they share?
No, they can't share. Do you get given it when you graduate, or when you get called to the bar? Do you get given it?
Uh-huh.
Or is it like school uniform? You have to go out and buy all the equipment, and the wig is part of that. How often are you changing it? And is there a variation in them? Are there, like, shitty cheap ones and high-end, very nice ones?
Is someone, like, a loser because they have a shitty one?
Like, can you tell?
Yes. And is it, like, pretentious to have a really nice one, or is it, like, what you do if you're classy?
The trial is of a man who has bludgeoned his wife to death with a hammer. And what they're trying to decide is whether it's murder or whether it's manslaughter due to loss of control, which is a very, very specific defence, which has to meet any number of criteria, including, was the person aware or in control of their own actions? And would a normal person of a similar background behave the same in that situation? So that is the only way it would qualify as manslaughter. But that's not necessarily the idea that the jury have in their heads.
Go on.
Because it seems for a lot of them, despite being given very clear instruction, it's all about, was she asking for it?
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's so much misogyny.
There's a point where the murder victim, so we learn that she has three children, I think by three separate men. And they basically do everything other than call her a slut for having children with more than one person. And then people are talking about, like, you know, I want to know what she said before he hit her with a hammer, because I'm someone who keeps an open mind. And you're like, okay, we've got a hero on our hands who always keeps an open mind.
Yes, a lot of these people, as they hear the testimony, they're saying you've got to be open-minded, you've got to understand that there's two sides to every story, including a man bludgeoning his wife to death with a hammer. I'm thinking, I love hearing all these things come out of somebody's mouth, but not necessarily in a jury environment where there are very specific tests as to what qualifies as murder and what qualifies as manslaughter. Honestly, for most of my adult life, I have had quite a romanticized view of what a jury is. And having watched this show, I just think juries should be replaced by an algorithm.
An algorithm?
I think an algorithm could do a better job, because people will say, but AI has biases. Say, AI does have biases, but nothing compared to these fuckers.
So did you feel that way about them, that they were all fuckers?
Well, it's not even that I thought they seemed like fuckers, actually. It's that they seem like people.
Yeah.
not necessarily the best informed people, no. But I also think people aren't necessarily the best informed for any number of legitimate reasons.
What horrified me the most is in one of the two juries, there was someone who I'm going to refer to him as kind of a bully. And he has an agenda for whether he wants manslaughter or murder. And he's talking to the camera and he's going, this is what I want. And when I want something, I fight real hard. That's who I am. I fight. And you're like, okay.
You know this is supposed to be a jury. You're not a contestant on The Apprentice here.
Right. He was behaving like a contestant on a game show almost. And it was so clear that for this man, it was about his own sense of himself as a victor. And I kind of felt that we watched him sort of bully the other jurors into his way of thinking. And what you then see is you see that the holdout, that they then start to feel like a problem because they're holding up the process and everyone's going tick tock, tick tock. And they kind of then finally go, okay, whatever, I guess I am being difficult and I guess I don't want to keep everyone here. So I'll say what the rest of you are saying. And then someone does or doesn't go to prison for the rest of their life. I mean, it was really disturbing.
Also, the personal experience that people bring to it. It's like, oh, I remember once throwing a coffee cup at my wife. She annoyed me so much.
Oh, my God. Like, I actually haven't ever thrown anything, but I have punched a door twice in my life. And it's very clear to me that that could not escalate to murder.
You don't think you're a potential manslaughterer?
No, I don't think I am. I wonder if a certain thing unfolded, if I could, like, slap your face. I think that's as crazy as I could go.
I'll tell you what else was fascinating. How much perceived likability factors into a decision.
Yeah.
Because if you're unlikable, they're more likely to think, oh yeah, probably could have at someone with a hammer. Whereas if they kind of like you and feel a bit sorry for you, there's this one bit where the testimony of the defendant is that the wife had called him fat. And it's a bit heartbreaking because then you see one of the jurors saying, oh, I just know what that's like. I mean, it's just horrible. And it is.
Yeah.
But it's not Hammer Time horrible.
No, it's not.
So listen, if you're in the UK, chances are you will have already heard about the show because it was one of those things, it rarely happens these days where a TV programme airs and everybody is talking about it by the next day. But it's also possible that you're like, oh, what is it, some Channel 4 reality thing? I'm not watching that. It's so much better than that. And it really makes you think about the justice system and about other people. Did you watch the jury murder trial? Have you got thoughts? Are your thoughts the same as ours? Or are they different to ours? Have we got it all wrong, in your opinion? Are you judging us? Also, any further jury/justice recommendations? Do you know what we never got around to watching, really? I think we watched half an episode. That thing Jury Duty with James Marsden that everybody says is excellent.
Interestingly, I was talking to my friend about that today, and she was saying that she binged watched that with her 8-year-old and her 12-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And I think the 8-year-old is sort of mature with her television viewing. But again, to parents of like tweens, that could be a really good pick for you.
Let us know what you think. Give us your recommendations. The email address is
fuckoff@firecrotchandnormcore.com.
And who's next?
Oh, just a darling of the small screen and the stage, our friend and maybe the funniest lady on the planet, Lou Sanders.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How many of the other Dancing on Ice contestants did you have to Google to know who they were?
Yeah, a lot of them, but I dare say I would have been the one that people had to Google the most, because no one knew who I was. Like, if you look on the, and don't do this, but if you looked on the Dancing on Ice Instagram thing, and everyone else on the show's got loads of likes, and then mine's got the least amount of likes, and everyone underneath has gone, who? What? Like, who's this? And I replied to them for a laugh and said different things like, well, I'll pop you over my CV, or Sagittarius with a Virgo moon. You know, just things like that.
But were you then the plucky underdog who people took to?
No, I was the underdog.
Are you in the best shape of your life?
No, best shape of my life, I was 17 and bulimic. But I wouldn't recommend it, because I'm a lot healthier now. I'm strong.
What are you doing for your fitness these days? Take me through a week of Lou Sanders' fitness regimen.
Okay, so I get up at 9.
You wake at 9.
No, different days, different things. 7 today, just to have that chat with my cats. I'd say I exercise every other day.
And what are you doing?
Well, I ran yesterday, but I couldn't. So I was only doing a 5K, but I had to stop 3 times for a little walk in between. But I did do 3 hill runs, and I go slow and lumbering. Style.
What is lumber like?
Lumbering around to sort of like, oh, she's got to shift this body up.
Like sort of 3-5-0 fun.
Yeah, like, I'm coming up. It's not dainty or cute. Yeah, but it's so real. You know, I exercise in a very real way.
Is there a difference in the kind of car that you're getting sent when you do Dancing with the Stars versus Unforgivable?
No, because I actually drove Dancing on Ice because I felt bad about having a car. From mine to Bovingdon is like an hour each way. That would have been like at least £200 in cars a day. So I just said I'd drive.
So you'd rather that go to the shareholders? Not helping anyone. It's not helping the little man. Helping the workers.
Well, oh God, yeah.
And also, I'm surprised that they let you drive. And this isn't a comment on your driving, but it also is. Like, the reason they're sending cars for you isn't that they want you to feel like you're in the lap of luxury. It's about control, right?
Oh.
It's about, you know, being able to get you exactly where they want you, when they want you, and not leaving anything up to...
Maybe why I had an instinct to drive.
It was you taking control, actually.
Maybe it was.
Being like, you're not the boss of me.
Maybe it was. But I do think it's an obscene waste of money as well. And I just can't, even though it's not my money, I just think, well, like, spend that money on the food. That's what I said.
So do you get snacks in the dressing room?
No, the snacks.
What about Unforgivable?
Lovely.
What do you get in the Unforgivable dressing room?
Whatever I want, because I've got a rider, baby.
You got a rider?
Unforgivable.
What do you put on your rider?
It's more just like, what do you want in the dressing room?
And what do you want in the dressing room?
Seaweed.
Fresh?
No.
She wants dried seaweed.
Crispy seaweed from a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, although I do think I only got one packet of that.
What temperature?
And then I say, you know, some healthy snacks. And to be honest, it's just Tesco carrots in a pot and then hummus.
I bet they're cursing you with all these requests for seaweed and vegan chocolate.
I did not. I just said some vegan sweeties and some healthy food.
Okay. And you don't
want to be on my game with a double record, Jeff.
So is it two shows a day, is it?
Yeah. Sometimes it was one show a day because Mel did say... I don't know if I could do all 2 shows a day again.
And do you ever, because like 4 series in, have you kept track of every half anecdote that's ever fallen out of your mouth?
No.
I'm not talking about the... So do you repeat yourself?
Probably. Have you seen that?
I haven't noticed that, no.
But I did have to watch them back because I've got a young lad, 22, doing my clips for online stuff, which is humiliating.
What's humiliating about that?
Well, just the fact that I don't have control over it. I could actually, I am going to take control over it, I think. I'm now on the TikTok one. He's on Facebook, and I think I've got about 3 followers. So that's humiliating. And also then just the fact that he's used hashtags. That's humiliating. But
This is the world now, Lucy. You've got to lean in, baby.
Like, you've got to lean in because if TV is having a bit of a dip... then you think, God, I've got to, like, grow the other areas.
Well, here's what I think about you specifically. Do you mind?
No, I'd love to.
Pontificating. So, entertainment television is in a bit of a crisis. I've got lots of people who work in it, and there's no work, and very little is being commissioned, and budgets are being slashed. But more people are watching stuff than ever before, not on television, but on their phones. Mm. And yeah, you know, I watch TikTok and I watch Reels a lot, and I see some great things. And here's what I think: you were doing that 5, 6, 7 years ago, and you were better at it than everybody else. But people weren't really watching video in that way, and now they are. And I think if you went back and did some of the stuff you were doing then, you'd be getting like a gajillion views.
So not like the clips from TV?
No.
More like talking
because
to camera.
People.
Because you talking to camera.
You're really good at it.
Magical. It's so much better. I envy your ability to do it. It's so funny.
And you're so funny. The jingles and the ideas and your silly skits and games.
And your weird
whatever.
Shit you get up to. And that's a million times funnier than like clipped up bits from television
shows.
Well,
I've forgotten everything to what I did.
Well, just do. But it's just you. It's just, head. You. It's just what comes out of your head. So what's funny to you on that day?
Okay. God, I hate it. I know. It's like starting from the beginning.
But you were doing it anyway.
I've deleted all of those as well.
Well, there you go. You can recycle some of the ideas.
They're gone forever. I got embarrassed about stuff I did 2, 3 years ago. I deleted them from Instagram.
Even like what is in the dish? The little game that you used to play.
Oh, my God. What
is in the
dish?
I deleted them. I was so embarrassed.
Lou, you...
Like, I'm not being funny. Like you're very good on these panel shows, but that was much better than anything I've seen on a panel show. Any panel show ever.
We're here to promote Unforgivable. We're here to promote Unforgivable.
Which you said you're very good on those shows, but
you are always a star is born. But yeah, what is in the dish is like a million times better than most of what's on television.
It is.
How I've deleted it.
Well, there you go. You can do it again with high production values.
Lou.
Yeah.
Imagine for a moment that I'm a genie and I can grant you, but all of the wishes that I grant are like, In the world of television commissioning.
So we can't say no more.
Exactly.
No.
That's a shame. What a shit.
What would you want from me?
What, from television?
Yeah. What's the...
So you can make your TV dream come true.
I can make your TV dream come true.
Okay, in that case, I'll have a travel show.
It would be Lou Sanders. It would be you as the sort of host of a travel show.
I'll have
show.
A travel
okay.
show. I'll front a panel show about emotional intelligence.
Interesting.
And I'll do my sitcom... that's in at the moment, and that'll be global, thank you.
And how is that going with that sitcom? Where's
I don't know. It's in with the channel.
How long has it been in for?
I've got some notes, and then I sent it back. So it hasn't gone to all the commissioners. It just went to one or two. And then I gave it in about 3 days ago, 4 days ago.
So you happy with it?
I think it probably needs a bit more action, but I'm very happy with the characters and jokes. But
has it got heart to it?
Yeah.
Stop it. Just make it funny. Stop putting a heart in things.
No, it's really funny. It's not too much heart. It's,
okay.
It's got criminals. I promise it's not saccharine.
Okay. Do you play a semi-fictionalized version of yourself?
No, play myself. Oh, no, but myself when I was drinking and smoking.
Okay.
Do you... A little bit more fun.
Does, when you think about like, panel show, if you go sort of like travel show, panel show, please, and then my sitcom, global.
Yeah.
What, like, if you had asked me the question,
yeah, Anna,
I'd be like, actually, my dream would be the one that didn't involve me writing.
Oh, really?
So really, I think the dream is like, I do enough writing with stand-up.
Yeah.
I don't need to be writing a sitcom as well. Yeah. I'd rather just get to like front a panel show or show up on a travel show where someone else has been like, what?
I'm just thinking about, I was just like, so I think apart from Unforgivable, which is what you're here to talk about.
Well, my tour next year as well, actually.
And the tour, of course. But apart from Unforgivable,
yeah.
I would say the genre of panel show is pretty much dead and people need to...
Need to get over it.
Yeah, but I think travel show, you'd be fantastic
unless
at.
I revolutionise the panel show.
I think you could revolutionise the panel show.
Yeah, maybe you could.
But yeah,
maybe
okay, fine, it's dead. I don't care. I'm not going to mourn it. I'll just get on and be in Africa.
What, do they have panel shows there?
No, travel show.
So, but you've done like Travel Man, haven't you?
Yeah, but that's not my own show.
So why don't...
They wanted Richard Ayoade to keep fronting that.
But it's about...
I fit on it. Oh no, Joe Lycett in the end.
But but have you got an idea for a travel show?
I've got loads of ideas.
You'd be great on a travel show.
Yeah.
Are you part of the ITV family now?
That's not been said.
I said this to Sarah the other day about you.
I genuinely think that you would be refreshing.
Yeah, I think you are like as unique a person, as unique a note as I've ever encountered. But at the really same time, I think everybody sees one of their friends or one of their family in you. And that to me is a real sweet spot for a channel like ITV. I'd be putting you on everything if it was my channel.
Well, why aren't you making the decisions, you know?
Yes.
Do you have acting ambitions still at this point?
Ooh, yes.
Tell me, what's the dream?
My own sitcom, and then I guess just Hollywood.
You used to be going to Hollywood with some regularity. Are you going to Hollywood?
Not really, but I am going in April for 3 days.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm going to Lake Tahoe snowboarding for 4 days.
See, this is that athlete. This is the athlete.
You've got to enjoy your life. And then I'm going to LA for 3 days, maybe to pitch and stuff.
Great.
So look up your sons and your uncles.
Do you like the American meeting? Do you like the energy of an American meeting?
I haven't really had any.
I thought you, wasn't there a phase where you were always going over there?
No, maybe do some gigs and stuff, like, but not, I don't think I had meetings.
I bet they eat you up with a zany Brit.
Well, I did.
With her hot bod from all her fitness regimen.
You should see my tummy. It's not hot.
Your tummy isn't hard?
It's not hard. No, it's, well, I've got my period at the moment and it's, you know.
You're still menstruating.
Gaping.
You're still menstruating. I mean, I know you're 25, but you're continuing to menstruate at 25.
It's with alarming regularity.
Luli.
And a beautiful flow to it.
Are you serious? Mm. And it hasn't started coming more frequently?
No.
You're so going to be one of those women who like has her period at 60. My mom was kind of like that.
Really?
Because of all her regimens. And you've got all your little regimens.
Well, I don't think my mom went through menopause like 52 and she said she didn't have any problems with it, but she's also barking mad so she wouldn't have noticed.
I say
that with love.
Yeah, when you buy sanitary products, you know there's the little droplets and you have one droplet, two droplet or three.
Don't buy sanitary.
Oh, you're moon cupping.
Moon
cup and period pants. And I do not understand why anyone would still be buying. Tampons are disgusting. Sanitary towels are disgusting. The hell and the environment. Like, why the hell?
Answer the question, Sarah.
So I use tampons.
Mm, God, get to hell.
Because you think I'm destroying the planet.
Yeah, and also then when you piss, the little pissy string just stays in your pants all day.
Two things. Number one, first of all, I would like to be doing all that I can for the environment, but I also feel like you drive your car around. I'm never driving, you're ruining the environment.
I've got a fully electric car.
Okay. Which is great.
But the batteries.
And also the energy it took to make the car.
Did I cycle today?
You did cycle today.
Okay, so I think I've just always been afraid of the moon cup.
Mm.
And the, like, I don't know, I've just been using a tampon since I was 13.
Yeah, but dare to challenge yourself and watch a video on YouTube.
Do you not, like, I'm always worried about it getting lost up there or something.
No, mine's never got lost up there.
But you're always worrying about toxic shock syndrome.
I'm always worried about toxic shock syndrome.
Well, that you're more likely to get that with a period than a moon cup. You only have to empty it, like, well, actually on day one, I'm emptying it quite a few times, but like day two.
I've always had a very light flow.
Well, then moon cup's the way forward because it isn't, you can't get toxic shock syndrome because it's out of your body and in a little bag. Is this the sort of content people want?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes. What are you watching at the minute, Lou?
Do you know what I'm really excited about?
Go
oh my
on.
God. So I went to the screening the other day of Chi, you know, Chi with a C, Lucia Keskin. She's got a new series out called Things You Should Have Done, BBC. And my God, it's good.
Really?
It's so good. It's so good. And she's like 22 or something. It's insane.
And she's done it through YouTube and Instagram. I've just Googled.
Yeah.
You need to get back on there.
She started 5 years ago. I do think I've started TikTok about four times. This time I'm sticking with it, even though my last video's got no likes. I don't mind. It's a real exercise in humanity.
Every post is a blank sheet of paper.
Thank you. My God.
Is a blank sheet of paper. I don't understand.
No, that's made my period worse.
So what is that show called again?
Things You Should Have Done.
Things You Should Have Done.
I've seen episodes 1 and 2. That was great.
And Lou Sanders Live 25?
Lou Sanders Live 25.
What are you calling that tour?
No Kissing in the Bingo Hall.
Good.
You always do such a good title, Luli. Well, so few people do.
A lady in the bingo hall, once I was kissing this boy in the bingo hall and a lady said, no kissing in the bingo hall, but she said it in a Jamaican accent and it was so good. I love the Jamaican accent.
I can't bring it to mind. Can you say that for me?
And I would never be able to say it in the show, obviously, for obvious reasons. But it was so, you just want to say it because it's so addictive, like sing-songy, you know, but I'm going to change it to Welsh so that I don't get cancelled. But this Jamaican guy in the gym was chirpsing me the other week and he said...
Can you remind me what chirpsing is?
Chatting up.
Right.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And he said to the, because I was watching him and I thought he's got an interesting energy. Like he's very alive, you know. And he went over to the guy who was running the class and went, "Are you blessed? Are you blessed?" What a lovely opening.
Yeah.
But in a Jamaican accent, it sounds great. In an English accent, not so much. Mm. And then he said, you know, I really wish I could do the accent. he was.
What would a Welsh person say that sound like?
He put his number in my phone. I'm not going to phone him, but he was nice. But then
you should take him on tour with you and just bring him out to say that line every night. What size venues are you playing?
But at the end, he goes, "If it's, it doesn't work in an English accent."
What would it sound like in a Welsh accent, though?
He goes, "Okay, how do you do Welsh again?"
You just bring a Welsh energy to it.
Do it.
If he just said, "If it's playtime, it's playtime," in a sing-song accent, and I really liked it. If it's playtime, it's playtime. It doesn't work.
but what are you doing? Like 1,000-seaters? What size venue?
No, between 300 to 600.
Oh my god, I was going to say 500.
So would it work? Would it not work economically to bring him on tour with you? Don't have a support act.
No.
I want to be your support act. I mean,
you
I would like
to make an accent. I'm not having a support act. I didn't make much money for my tour last time, so I
you didn't
make some money. Not really. No, no, no.
What did you blow the budget on? Props,
whores, and coke. I think we say sex workers.
Sex workers and cocaine.
Sex workers and cocaine. No, but I'm going to have a tour manager and just hope to God that it sells well. It's going to be a fun show, actually. I'm going to talk about joy because most of my friends are Mizog. And I'm like, why is everyone fucking Mizog? Like, we're living in the free world.
It is Mizog.
Come on. I'm not Mizog, but I think people need more joy in their life.
I love
but
that.
But things are going great for you. It's very easy not to be Mizog when things are going great.
No, sometimes
she doesn't
they're not.
Feel that, though, all the time. This is the whole thing. No one does. This is the point of your show, is that...
But when things were going great for me, I just felt joy all the time.
No, you didn't. No, I didn't.
You did not. That's the thing. One of my friends is the luckiest thing in the world. Like, they make so much money. They're in love. They're Mizog all the time.
So my recommendation is if people type Lou Sanders and then the word tour, and maybe 2025 into Google, then they'll find out.
Yeah, and
about
it seems silly buying tickets in advance, but you've got to get a good seat and you've got to know they're in the back. Because if one of my TikTok blows up, all those seats will be gone.
Luli.
Luli.
I had a friend who used to refer to her vagina as her Luli. A lady's Luli, she would call it.
Lou told me that she once, she used to do a bit about her labia, and she said that she got that from me because of me talking about my labia. I've never talked about my labia on stage, and I don't know if I ever will.
But they are a frequent topic of conversation socially.
Yeah, I love talking about my labia. Okay, our first email comes from John, who writes, "Dear FC and NC, longtime listener, second time emailer here. I am resending my first email because you didn't read it out the first time, which... I hardly even noticed. But since you were talking about identical twins, I thought I'd resend it now as it's on topic. Here it is. Dear FC and NC, I find it infuriating when identical twins are played by one actor. Why do we need identical twins? Because of madcap mix-ups where hilarity ensues? Fuck off. Because you think having some kind of on-screen mirror self further illuminates your character? Fuck further off and write a better character.
Isn't it the case that any magic trick that you can't figure out, the answer is always identical twins?
Disgusting. Because you believe in some kind of innate twin woo that elevates identical twins to a near supernatural entity? No. You relegate them to curios for display, so fuck off and do your A-level module on Jungian, I never had a pronounce it, Jungian archetypes in your own time. Additionally, I have an aversion to James Franco, and I just want to say quickly to John, like, if this was any less well-written, I would have had to cut it down, but it's just phenomenal, if I may, so I'm just going to keep letting it rip from John. Additionally, he continues, I have an aversion to James Franco. I think he's too goofy for serious stuff, too intense for light stuff, too pretty for real characters, too real for leading man roles, so I never buy him in anything. He's just James Franco, and James Franco is annoying in ways that I never fully understand nor care to, because it's one of those enjoyable dislikings that you don't want to have spoiled by insight. That
is my entire life, John. Don't spoil all the things I don't like by making me think too much about them. The Deuce, he says, an HBO series from a few years ago portraying a New York red light district through the explosion of the porn industry in the 70s and 80s, has James Franco playing identical twins. So I would normally give that a wide swerve. But it was written by David Simon, who after The Wire, but for me, especially after the criminally underwatched and underrated Tremé, I've always wanted to watch that. My brother was an extra in one of those episodes, had a lot of credit in the bank. So I gave it a go and it was good. Annoyingly, James Franco is pretty good in it, and I saw two whole characters in the twins he plays. The whole cast is brilliant and nuanced and human. Yours, John. John, I want to tell you this is a little nugget, and probably I'm telling you something that you know, but I read your email and I like got it ready for this moment. And then I was listening to a podcast that Busy Phillips was on. And in her memoir, she wrote about being in Freaks and Geeks with James Franco. And like she annoyed him with something once and he pushed her to the ground. But if what you want to know, John, is that you've picked up something about someone who's maybe not great, I'd like to confirm that for him.
But what if you've now ruined John's enjoyment of The Deuce?
No, no, no. That's not going to happen. He's still going to love it.
That'd be a good topic, actually, wouldn't it?
Go on.
Enjoying a show despite it being an actor or a creator that you've previously despised. This comes from Hannah, who says, read the recommendation to watch After Sun. This film destroyed me. But that's because I was watching from the perspective of the young girl who had been in that very position. Ugh. I cried and felt intense rage towards my own father and sadness for my younger self. That said, my husband loved it. I do have to add that he is somewhat emotionally constipated and has never shed a tear watching anything.
Oh my God.
He has an extremely high bar for what he considers good TV and film. He works in VFX and he thought that the film was beautifully made and that the representation of the era was incredibly accurate. This is a real bugbear for him. It's fascinating to be in a cinema with someone and one of you is watching as a daughter and the other as a father, and both having a completely different experience.
Really like that. I really want to see this film, After Sun, and I'm also terrified of it. Do you know what it's about?
No.
I don't want to give too much away, and also all I did was just read the entire plot synopsis, but it's about like a father and his daughter, and I think the dad's supposed to be like 30 and the daughter's 11, so like had her young, and they, I think, were somehow aware that we are with the adult woman remembering this
holiday?
This holiday that she has with her dad before she returns to her mom. You know, the parents aren't together. And I think it's very moving. This next email comes from Lindsay Skeen, who writes, Dear FC and NC, writing with personalized documentary recommendations for each of you this week. For Jeff, I'm recommending a Storyville doc on iPlayer called A Bunch of Amateurs. It's about an amateur filmmaking club in Bradford and is utterly charming, moving, and uplifting.
Oh, this sounds really right like up my deal. Street, yeah.
It's also really funny. It's not that I'm not recommending it for you, Sarah, but it's quite slow-paced and bleak little British town. Oh my God, Lindsay, she gets us. I mean, I'm not loving the vision of myself I'm presenting to her, but it's not inaccurate. So you might not take to it. So this one's for you. Opiate Crisis Klaxon. Again on iPlayer, there's a documentary called All the Beauty and the Bloodshed. It follows the artist activist Nan Golden and goes in hard on the Sackler family. Sit back and enjoy / bubble with rage and cry your eyes out. Thank you very much for your service. Also, I'm a Patreon member, so I hope those hedges are doing okay in the recent cold weather. They're doing okay, but they're not flourishing. And I'm a little worried that the guy who sold them to me wasn't completely honest about how full a bush I was ultimately going to get.
Also this week, Aaron thinks we should watch Wellington Paranormal. He recommends this to the person who liked What We Do in the Shadows and Our Flag Means Death.
Bronwyn thinks we should watch Boy Swallows Universe. She says it's more excellent Aussie television. And she wants to second the suggestion that you, Jeff, should watch Please Like Me.
Ben Worsey also thinks we should watch Boy Swallows Universe.
This is the next thing gaining traction. People weigh in. And Matt Flynn thinks the parent to the teenagers should watch Father Ted. He said his teenagers fell in love with it after binging Dairy Girls, and he wants to jump on the Murder on a Sunday Morning bandwagon.
This week, Lou Sanders and I like to watch Things You Should Have Done on BBC iPlayer. Sarah watched The End on Sky and Now TV, and we watched The Jury Murder Trial on Channel 4.
I have a vision right now. Maybe this is from all the mindfulness I haven't been doing. But I see gray stones laid out in front of each other. A sweet spring bunny hops by. Do you see the wet stones? Do you feel the buds of spring are coming? I hope you do. I love wet stones.
Are you talking about the pavement?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like an expensive water feature.
Oh, I see.
Shh. We're an expensive water feature.
Is this the sort of thing you might see in a Japanese spa?
No, it's not in a Japanese spa. It's a wet stone that is somehow involved in their garden.
Gravel?
No! It's pure. And people feel clean when they think about it. Turn the stone over in your mind.
Do you think you need to mention that you went to see a Yoko Ono exhibition?
I went to see a Yoko Ono exhibition.
It's very Yoko to be turning a wet stone over in your mind.
Wet stone. Wet stone!
You gonna say goodbye to these people?
I thought the second time I said wet stones, it gave a very goodbye energy. Goodbye with your stones! Wet stones! Gray stones!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.